Tonight, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. This is a picture of Mount Hebron in Israel. It's basically in the tribe of Judah's inheritance. And tonight we're going to look at, give me this mountain. This was a request of someone who had fought for the Lord. And he wanted to stand on his promises. And so we're looking at Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. And it's a very familiar story. The man that's asking for this mountain, his name is Caleb. And in our text tonight, in verse 6, it says this. It says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee and Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. You know, that's what the world wants your heart to do right now, is to melt. That's too big. There is no hope. My God is good. My God is good. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, I am this day 85 years old. Yes, yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims... Now the Anakims were big dudes. That's what made everybody so scared. They said, we saw the children of Anak there, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight. And that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Church, we need to get this message tonight. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he what? Everybody say this. Wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. See, this is the text from the book of battles. No, Genesis is an account up to them getting into Egypt, about creation and Abraham and the promises made to him. And then Exodus talks about them leaving, and the rules, and then Leviticus and Deuteronomy and the Numbers. How, if they had just followed God, it would have been over then. But no, it comes to Joshua. So it's a text from the book of battles here. And Joshua is now the leader because Moses has died because of just one act of disobedience. Folks, it only takes one sin to make you a sinner. It only takes you one sin to fall short of the glory of God. Well, God's unfair. No, God is just. God is just. And he allowed Moses to see. But you know, the interesting thing is, after Moses was told that, he still followed God. He still was the leader. And then he passed the reins to Joshua. Joshua is now the leader. The land is divided for inheritance. Before it was all conquered up, they divided and said, this is yours and this is yours. Why? Because everybody needed a stake in the promised land. Everybody needs a stake in heaven. God, Christ says, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come back and get you. See, if we just follow God, He's got an inheritance for us. We just have to stake our claim to it. And you know, if you know what you're going to get, it ought to make you fight pretty hard. If you know that there's something at the end. Folks, we know what God has promised us in the end. It ought to make us live a holy life for Him. So the land is divided for inheritance. The area will still have to be conquered and developed. But if you know it's yours, that motivates you. Folks, we need to understand what blessings God has given to us, what inheritance that we have for us. So Caleb says, give me this mountain. That was a pretty big mountain. It's down here, okay? South of Jerusalem. There's some other significance about Hebron, okay, that we'll talk about tonight. There's a lot of people today that want to take the easy way out. And we're not to take the easy way out. We're supposed to take God's way out. Sometimes it's easy because He says, my burden's light. Sometimes it will be difficult to increase our faith. And so Caleb here asked for a very difficult task. You know why? Because there were giants up there. There were big dudes. Well, you know something? The bigger they are, the harder they what? Fall, okay? So he asked them for the most difficult task. Why did Caleb ask for this? Well, we can kind of see it in the text tonight. So they're looking and they see, I want this mountain. I want this mountain. So, you know why Caleb did this? Because Caleb remembered God's promise to him. Caleb remembered God's promise to him. Let's go back to verses 6 and 7. He says, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning what? Me and thee at Kadesh Barnea. That's where the spies said, nah, we can't do this. Now, I was 40 years old then when this happened. 45 years has gone by here. And Caleb the spy, remember in Numbers chapter 13, verses 14, they sent out one of every tribe. And what did they find? Well, they were sent out by Moses, and they found it exactly as God had promised them. It was a land of milk and honey. It was all the things that God had said. And when the spies came back, they had to say that. You know why? Because it was truth and you can't lie about the truth. They saw it with their own eyes and they saw what God was going to give them. And Moses wanted everybody to get involved. Because we all need to get involved. And so, Caleb's been waiting for 40 years for the fulfillment of this promise. Folks, we're still waiting for the redemption of our body. And look at what it made Caleb to do. And what does the promises of God make us do or motivate us to do? Caleb saw beyond this to Hebron. Now, what about Hebron? In Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, when Abraham comes into the land that God said, I'm going to give it to your seed for an inheritance. He says that Abraham removed his tent. See, he didn't have to worry about permits. He didn't have to worry about man and rules and stuff like that. He just went with God told him to. And folks, that's what our church is going to do. We're going to do what God tells us to do. Amen? It says that when Abram removed his tent, came and dwelt in the land of Mamre, which is in what? Hebron, and built there a what? Altar unto the Lord. See, Hebron had a special meaning to the Israelites. That's where Abraham was. That's where Abraham built an altar. That's where Abraham worshiped God. So, what better place to have for an inheritance is a place that your predecessor worship God at. And folks, we need to follow in the track of the saints. You know, Paul says that we're supposed to be ye followers of me as I'm a follower of Christ. We're supposed to set the example. And they had Abram as an example. They knew the song. They knew the history. And so Caleb saw beyond this to Hebron. But you know, those spies, they couldn't see what? They couldn't see past those giants. So we see Caleb the faithful. And when they come back and say, exactly the way you said it was, but, you know, don't you hate that word? But. Yes, but. And you go, well, okay, now what's coming now? Okay? In Numbers 13, verse 30, when they brought back the report of the giants in the land, we were like grasshoppers, everybody just went nuts. Now, just like today, when someone just says something now, everybody seems to want to go off the deep end. And panic can cause chaos and everything else. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Everybody read this one. For we are well able to overcome it. See, there's a difference here. See, Caleb saw something. They saw the same land, but they had a different result. See, the majority had big giants and a little God. And there's a lot of people today don't serve God because there's just too many obstacles in my way. It's just too risky. I can't do this. I can't develop the time. I don't have the skill. Don't make excuses. David slew Goliath. Giants are for felling, okay? They are to fall. And so the majority had what? They had great giants and a little God, and they said, well, it's been nice these last 2 years. Let's go back to Egypt. It was a lot better back. Oh, yeah. How soon we forget. Folks, don't forget where God's brought you from. Why would we want to be entangled with the yoke of bondage, as Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says? So the majority had little great giants and little God, but Caleb had a great God and said little and little giants. He says, we're well able to overcome it. With men, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You know why? Because God's good. God's good. Then next, this is the majority were problem conscious. You always look at why you can't do something. You know people like that? Maybe you're one of them. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. Or as soon as you say something, no, let's not be problem conscious, but Caleb was power conscious. He understood where his power came from. He understood that with him and God were a majority, and those giants didn't stand a chance. David understood that too. Gideon understood that too. Elijah understood that also. Dave and Solomon even understood it and then went away from it. So the majority were problem conscious, but Caleb was power conscious. Which one are you tonight? Which one are you tonight? You know, the only thing holding you back from doing things for God is you. God's given us everything for life and godliness. We see Caleb the faithful. Okay? There's an extra slide. Then we see Caleb standing on the promise. We sing the song, Standing on the Promises. But folks, you can't stand on the promises and then God asks you to do something and said, I can't do that. It doesn't work that way. doesn't work. We know that the Lord knoweth who are His as a foundation that is sure from this morning. In verses 23 and 24, they go on to the next chapter of Numbers. It says, surely, this is what Lord tells them. And there's a point in here that we need to look at. Christ said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Heavenly Father. It says, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. How many times do we not experience God's blessing because we just refuse to see it? We refuse to. We come up a whole bunch of excuses. In Luke chapter 14, there's the parable of the Great Supper. It says, bid people to come. And one said, hey, I can't come to the supper because I just bought a piece of land and I have to go out and check it out. And went to another one, I can't come to the supper because I just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go and check them out and see how they run and see how they plow. And then a third one, I just got married. Don't ask me. Help me. With God, there are no excuses. He gave His Son to die on the cross for our sins. He gave us everything we need for life and godliness. And we say, but God, I can't do that. It's an issue of no faith. It's an issue of no faith. Caleb was standing on the promise. He saw this. And he will never forget them. Think of this. 40 years. They've been marching around in the wilderness. And Caleb is still holding on to the promise. Joshua is still holding on to the promise. Some of us can't hold on to promise for 40 seconds. 40 years. He never forgot what God had told him. And he clung to that. And he said, we can do this. I want that mountain. I don't want the easy part. I want the hard part. I want the hard part. He'll never forget the promises. You never find Caleb with the naysayers. You never find him in that group where they challenge Moses' authority. He's never there. You know why? Because he's standing on the promises. Folks, don't stand with people who want to tear down the church. Don't stand with people that want to tear down your belief. Walk away. Walk away. And third, he's on his way to a better land all through his life. Every day he goes out and picks up manna just like the rest of them. And he says, you know, one day I'm going to be in that land that I saw 40 years ago or years ago. Because God said so. And I believe God. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. And it changed Abraham's walk. It kept Caleb walking the same way. And he sees people dying in the wilderness because they don't believe the promise. Folks, not believing God's promise is spiritual death. You'll never realize what God really wanted you to do. And so he remembered God's promise and he realized that all this time that they're out there wandering, God made him a promise that he's going to see. Not only that, he's going to inherit it. It's not that he's just going to walk over Jordan. He's going to live there. So he remembers God's promise to him. Do you remember God's promises to us? God remembers his own commitment to the Lord. In verse 8 it says, I wholly followed the Lord. Oh, what it would be like if we all just wholly followed the Lord. But see, we like to make excuses. We want to say it's too hard. We say there's too many rules. There's something stopping us from doing that. But he says, I wholly followed the Lord. It reminded him of the time of full surrender back at Kadesh Barnea when everybody is saying, we can't do this. He says, we're well able to overcome them. Because God's brought us this far. Why can't he take us into what he promised us to do? And for 40 years now, he's wholly followed the Lord. He was a man of God. And he had total dedication and commitment. You know, here's a verse, and if you don't have it memorized, you should. In Psalm 37, verse 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. That Nahum said that this morning too, right? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall what? He shall bring it back. It'll happen. It'll happen God's way, and you'll be in agreement with it. So he remembered his own commitment to the Lord because he wholly followed the Lord. He remembers how he had stood apart from the crowd. Folks, we see this now. Think of this. There was at least 1 million people that came out of Egypt. You know, we often think about the 12 spies. And he's just 2 of 12. Caleb and Joshua were 2 standing in the midst of a multitude. And they said, we can do this. And they didn't have Bob the Builder. Okay? They said, we can do this. And he stood apart from the crowd. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to what? Come out from among them and be ye what? Separate. You can't follow your God wholly if you're dabbling in the world. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Do you remember a day of victory in your life? Do you remember the day you were saved, when you finally understood what Christ did on the cross for you? Do you remember the time that you fully sold out and said, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do? Or have we forgotten about that? See, Caleb had been wandering around the wilderness with a bunch of unbelievers for 40 years. And he didn't forget. And he stayed committed. And he stayed sold out. And he stayed wholly following God in the midst of everybody that said no. You know, most of us would be mad about that. Most of us would say, hey, that's not fair, God. I said you could go in. Why didn't you let me go in? Why are you punishing me? Why are you punishing me when everybody else in the class was talking? See, what we need to do is we just need to do what God tells us to do. Then it doesn't really matter. So, have you had a day of victory? Do you remember it? But that ought to be a stake in the ground. Say, I know what God can do in my life. You remember the day you got saved? If you can't remember it, maybe you need to get saved tonight. Maybe you need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ tonight. Maybe you need to realize all this time that you haven't been trusting in him. Or, what about that time you made a vow to God, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. How's that working out for you right now? Or have you been sidetracked? Or you like the Matthew 13, the seed is planted among the thorns, and the thorns choke out the word, and it becomes what? Unfruitful. See, he remembered how he stood apart from the crowd on that day. There's a message to the church. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, the very first church that's singled out in the letters is the church at Ephesus. And God commends them for all the things that they were doing. But then he had one problem with them. And he said, you've left your first love. He says in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 2, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And here's the remedy for that. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the what? First works. Get back on the path that God had set you on and start doing what God had told you to do. Or else, I will come to thee quickly. See, God doesn't, we think of him as being merciful and long-suffering and everything else. Yes, he has been long-suffering. He was suffering over 100 years with Nineveh. But then judgment came. See, in God, who is timeless, there is no concept of time. He says, behold, I will come unto thee quickly. Remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou what? Repent. Folks, let's get back to our first love. Let's get back and standing apart. Let's get back and remember our commitment to the Lord. Let's get back and remember all the promises that God's made to us. Let's get back to that and follow it. Lastly, he remembers God's faithfulness to him. In verse 10, he says, God hath kept me alive. He has seen thousands from 20 years old and upward die. And God has kept me alive. You know why? Because of his promise. Have you thanked God for keeping you alive? Don't take your life for granted. Remember what James says. He says, don't go say, I'm going to go do this tomorrow. He says, if the Lord will, I'll do this tomorrow. The significance of that statement. He's been waiting for this for 40 years for the redemption. And folks, we need to live our lives as if we're waiting all of our life to see Jesus face to face. That's a tremendous statement. Now he says this, I'm 85 years old. He's 85 years old. And you know something? He didn't need a 60 up. He kept his balance. He didn't need a total gym. He didn't need all these things you see on TV to try to help you out. They didn't have that stuff back then. And boy, as we get older, things don't work as well, right? But look at what God can do. God has preserved him. You know why? Because God wants us to have life and life more abundantly. He wanted Caleb to get into the promised land with the strength that he had when he was 40 years old so he can enjoy what God's inheritance was. Don't let age get in the way. You're never too old to do something for God. Don't let the past get in your way. Either the negative past, well, God could never use me because of all the things that I've done in my past. That's a lie from Satan. Look at David. David commits adultery. Commits murder. And God says he's a man after what? His own heart. Don't let the bad past get in your way. And also at the same time, don't let the good past. So, I've done enough. I don't need to do any more. You don't retire from God's service. We don't retire from God's service. So he says, I'm now 85 years old. Don't let age get in the way. Don't let the past get in the way. And God had cared for him up to that hour. He says, I'm as strong now as I was then. See, God's grace had sustained him. You know, Paul writes to Corinthian church, and then he writes to the other churches. He always welcomes them with the grace of God. And he says this, he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." Think about how God and Moses felt when all these people come up and they've gone through, they fought the Amalekites, done all this stuff, they've been sustained in the wilderness, they get right there and then can't get in. Waste of time. Most people say, "I'll give up on that." He says, "They're not in vain, but what? I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." See, Caleb walked with God, and God made sure he was going to walk into the promised land because He promised it. So, Caleb's request. "Now, therefore, give me this mountain." Give me the mountain. See, he says, "Give me your best." See, we want, don't you want the best for your life? Don't you want the best for your family? Don't you want the best for your church? Don't you want the best for your country? Then take the hard task. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 17, there was a book written on this one verse. So then Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy right hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And what? And God granted him that which he requested. See, but God's not going to hear you unless you're following. God's not going to hear you unless you're willing to step up and stand for God. So he says, "Give me this mountain. Give me your best. Give me your toughest task. Give me the giants." Remember David and Goliath. Remember what happened there. The entire army of Israel, those that were trained in combat, were shaking in their boots. And this little shepherd boy comes up without any armor and without any sword and without anything else, and he conquers the giant. You know why? Because God was with him. You know why? Because he says, "You hear what that dude's saying about our God?" And he stood up for what was right. Caleb and Joshua stood up for what was right, and they were rewarded. David stood up for what was right. I guarantee you, you stand up for what is right, and you will be rewarded. It's on the authority of the Word of God. There may be some tough times along the way, but I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Remembering should challenge us. He's the same God, but do we have the same belief? Do we have the same love? We should be believing more. We should have more faith now. Stop making excuses. There is no excuse. And then the last thing is, we need to accept the challenge. We need to move on to higher ground. I want everybody to stand tonight. We're not going to have a verse of invitation. We're going to sing a song. And I want us to appropriate this song in our lives. And it says, "I want that mountain." How many know it? Okay. "I saw the giant of prayerlessness upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard at my unbended knee. No longer in the wilderness I'll stay, and so I'll cry. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain. The mountain that my Lord has given me. There was a giant of laziness who said I wouldn't go, and witness for the one who set me free. I'll come from out the wilderness, I'll witness, now I know. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain. Where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eskol grow, I want that mountain, I want that mountain. The mountain that my Lord has given me. One faithless giant upon the crest of Hebron's lofty height has vowed that he's the one to make me flee. I'll climb from out the wilderness and trust Jehovah's might. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain. Where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eskol grow, I want that mountain, I want that mountain. The mountain that my Lord has given me. Let every giant of distress and unbelief and sin get ready now to vacate, for you see I've come from out the wilderness. I know I'm going to win. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain. Where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eskol grow, I want that mountain, I want that mountain. The mountain that the Lord has given me. How bad do you want the mountain, church? How bad do you want the mountain in your life? How bad do you want the mountain in your family? It's time to stop talking about it and do it. It's time to start showing that we really, truly want what the Lord wants. Amen? Do you want the mountain? Let's go and show it to a lost and dying world. God bless you all. You're dismissed. Amen.